Welcome to Mice Cast with the host Greg, Mike, and...
You're damn right.
Are we supposed to be hearing something? Because
yeah, I'm not hearing any of that.
You don't hear... Oh, that's too bad.
You don't hear the intro, no.
You didn't hear any of it? Full blast? All right, that means I'm at the...
Well, actually, back when he was about to say damn right, I started to think I heard you... Oh, maybe I need to put the fader up or something. But now it's gone away. Mm. Give us a whip around real quick. See if we can hear it. Nothing.
All right.
So you thought you had your things fixed.
Well, but... I think I know what the issue is. Is that the... it doesn't matter. All right.
It'll be difficult at the end to, shut Richard up with the push of the music because we won't hear it.
Well,
shut me up. You're the one that's always talking.
I have built in a mute switch, though, so I can shut you off if I have to. All right. What do we decide on? What part? Let me get the wording, the exact wording, because, that's important. What park, when you first experienced it, were you least impressed with?
All right. Just a quick whip around of which park, and then we're going to back and talk about it, or we're going to
say
it and talk?
Sure.
No, I'm asking.
I got the whip around running, so I'm all afraid we're all going to have the same answer. Just a few.
Studios.
Oh, okay.
Which one? Be specific.
The Disney MGM Studio.
Okay, all right. Epcot.
What?
Well, I'll tell you why.
California Adventure.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
All good choices.
Sure. Everyone's opinion is valid.
Remember when we first saw some of these, there weren't too many other parks to compare against. I first saw Epcot, there was only Castle Parks. International one, but I hadn't seen it. Besides the time DCA got here, there was a bunch of stuff to compare, Richard, with... the studios, it depends. I kind of asked Richard, at what stage did you see the studio? How early on? I know you had a hard time describing what Tower of Terror was because I asked you some very specific questions. Do you travel through the hotel? And you said yes. And when I got there, I kept waiting for us on the ride vehicle to move through the hotel. And I'm like, this is not what Richard described. I couldn't figure out what he was describing.
I'm not even going to go through the explanation because I've gotten a bad name from this whole thing.
That's true.
All right. Well,
Tower of Terror was there, but was there still? I'm inquiring a little bit. The studio tour was still there. That was before lights, action, camera, right? So you had the backstage. You had the.
When I was first there, it was before Tower, before Rock and Roller Coaster. We still had the studio. They had made the first, it was before Catastrophe Canyon opened up.
Okay. Wow. So your first trip to the studio was before Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
Well, for Catastrophe Canyon opened my first trip, and that was January of 90.
Months of it opening.
Yeah.
Are you sure Catastrophe Canyon just
It might have just been closed down, but operating, I never saw it. Yeah. I never saw Catastrophe Canyon. It's growing up here, we had Universal Studios out there, and we always had our trips going around Universal Studios. Now, it's more of a park than Universal. Universal always was like, okay, we're a studio, and we're going to put a park here too. And this one always felt the other way around. We're a park, but we'd like to film a few things around here too.
Yeah, we'll try to force a studio around our park, right?
Exactly. It was neat. Maybe it was because
it was
I saw too much of it being built over at WDI. I was watching all the stuff that was getting built there and then being sent over to Florida. But when I saw it all there, it was like, okay, this is neat. This is cool. But it wasn't, wow, it didn't have anything. It was just like, okay, cool. And do the Chevy Chase and nod my head a couple times and move on to the next spot.
Do you don't know what year you actually went? Because that would help us to define what era the park was in.
Oh, geez, I'd have to look it up.
Because it opened in
89. May of 89.
Okay.
So I'm thinking we probably went there right around that time, about 89, 90 is when we went, I want to say. And then, of course, I've been there several times since. I mean...
Sure, but it's like my... If we were saying what's my least favorite now would be much different than my first impression least favorite.
I mean, it's... I still like it and all. It's still neat. I like that it... Especially now, you go down that road that has the Tower of Terror and...
roller coaster.
Rock and roller coaster. You go down there, you have the packing house that's built to be similar to the Anaheim packing house, and you got Anaheim signage around there. Okay, nice having the hometown around it, but it still just doesn't have a wow factor to me. It's just like, okay, this is cool, this is neat. I still like going into the Magic Kingdom. I still like going into Epcot. You know, those places just I like, probably not anymore, but that's a whole nother story. So to me, it just was like, yeah, I mean, that's it.
Did you experience some of the things Mike experienced where they had the characters on, let's just call it Main Street for the lack, Hollywood Boulevard, whatever it's called, interacting with the guests and getting them to sit in the car and then took them for a ride?
No, never interacted with any characters out there.
But were there any characters?
I do not remember seeing them.
Okay. Because, again, trying to define the era because it may have been a little further down. But Tower of Terror was not there when you first got. So it cut off.
When I first went, there was nothing down.
When you come around there, like stopped.
Sunset Boulevard. Yeah. That's Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
I think that it stopped at that one souvenir, that tall souvenir place. It kind of reminds me of Carthay Circle, but I think that was the end of the road right there. They built the rest of the road out past that. Yeah.
There's one that looks like a theater and one that looks kind of a miniature Carthay, but a lot of those things were copied after real buildings.
Right.
So
it's Carthay Circle.
What was your first impression of Studios, Greg?
Me? Half Day Park.
Were you?
It was 2005. Vincent and I, you know, were on our trip of just us two. He was pretty young. So playing junior all American football, probably so junior
spring,
high.
It was spring break, right?
You said it was spring break, which. The Magic Kingdom was miserably crowded. I didn't find the Disney MGM to be overly crowded. We enjoyed a lot of the things. Like, you know, by then you walked on the back, they called Streets of America. The tram was not going down there. There was no lights, camera action yet. But as best I recall, pretty sure it wasn't there yet. Maybe they were building it. I don't know. But the tram still kind of came out and made a little loop at the base of the Streets of America. I was a little disappointed with the tram tour. Again, like Richard, we grew up with in-depth tram tour at Universal that, you know, was around sets that have been used for years upon years.
And one thing that was always nice about Universal, the tram tour, you and Mike had that pass that you were going there just about every week. And you were telling me that, the tram tour changed this week. It changed this direction because they're using that particular set or they're using that particular filming, street. So it's changing week by week. And the tram tour I noticed over at Disney was it's the same tour all the time because there wasn't anything really going on around the tram tour. It was set up for the tram.
Yeah, nothing would really impact it if they were filming. Unless they were on the Streets of America, and so what? They don't cruise through. You can just look down it maybe. Yeah. But I thought it was a half-day park. I thought it was a decent addition to relieve the crowds at some of the other parks. I mean, it was a decent effort. I enjoyed it. It you know, didn't necessarily blow my kilt up, but you know, it was the great movie ride was awesome. And by the time we saw that, already some of the effects, from what I understand, were not operating correctly. Like that one right at the beginning with all the dancers, I guess they had changed the effect. I don't know if there used to be water or something going on. Yes. There. The time I saw in 2005, was no longer working properly, or they just gave up on it. That's sometimes what, you know, WDI sets up the parks with things sometimes that are maintenance nightmares. And the park, I think, just says no more.
No, we don't get the budget for that.
Yeah. Give me a B mode that'll, you know, make me feel okay. And we'll do it that way. But that was a very impressive attraction.
So, Lightsmore's action, just like your trip to Epcot, opened right after you left in 2005. May.
That figures. But you know what? I didn't miss anything. I was not overly impressed with a car that's made to look like it's driving backwards, which a guy's actually driving forward in the car. Again, we've got universal bias. I didn't think anything special
out of that show. But the stunt shows at Universal were water-based.
Water, yeah. But not always.
Which one wasn't? Which one had cars in it?
Well, before Waterworld, I'm trying to remember what was there before.
It was Miami Vice before Waterworld. But it was still water.
Still water.
I want to say there was I'm not 100% sure of this. And I'd say I've been going to Universal as long as I've been going to Disneyland. But it seems like I'd seen a car stunt show before then. Maybe it was at the local fair. I just was not that impressed with it.
No, I remember one too. And I think it was like for Gone in 60 Seconds or something like that, that they had cars just racing around and jumping over things and whatnot.
Who knows?
I don't remember that. But so my first impression, it was the newest park that Disney had opened at the time I visited. And yes, Great Movie Ride was impressive. The Hollywood Boulevard to me was just as immersive and detail oriented as Main Street was at Disneyland. So that was, you know, nice. But it seemed like they'd gone back to forced perspective, kind of not full scale stuff like they had up at the Magic Kingdom. Yeah. And we all know about the interaction with the taxi cab on Main Street. The stunt show for Indiana Jones, you know, that was, you know, passable.
Again, we've all seen a stunt show around some theme.
After a while,
it just seems like the guy jogs from one position to another. I mean, they've done it 100 times.
The thing that started to take some shine off of it, I guess, is that so much of it was obviously a Universal Studios ripoff. Okay, so you remember the studios tour, you get on the tram, you do some stuff, and then they take you down to the soundstage, and you get off and you walk to the soundstage. It shows you various behind the scenes stuff, Foley work, crazy camera angles that make you, you know, look like people are defying gravity, crap like that. And they had stuff like that, but that was before you got on the tram. And you cruise around on the tram, you go and...
Well, you chose when you wanted to go on the tram, right?
Oh, you just got in line. Did the audience interactive shit, and they put you on the tram?
I say when we went back in those days to Universal, the first thing you had to do when you entered the gates of Universal was get in line for the tram.
Correct.
That was a must do.
No option.
For pass holders that gave us the option to bypass it.
No,
don't you remember that?
You got to cut in line is what you got to do. We bypassed the line, and they took you through the back, and you came out in front of the queue.
Okay, so even in that ride, that's like bypassing it because you're right on it, you're through it, whatever. But now, it's almost like a side effect of the Universal. You got to go downstairs.
Yes.
The fact that, you know, and it's in a different location. It's not the emphasis of the studio theme park like it used to be. Now it's more of a theme park. Hey, we got a studio too, versus like Disney's version. It's like they've downgraded themselves in a way to make rides more important than the studio Universal has.
Yeah, especially in Florida, I'm sure. Yeah. But
Florida's never had a tram attraction, and I felt it was more about the attractions than a studio.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I take it your family has no interest in anything.
We have interest now. Epic Universe has stirred interest.
Oh, okay. All right.
But, you know, so, rebadged Magic Mountain, eh.
Yeah,
Magic Mountain doesn't have anything even close to being truly themed with animatronics or anything like that.
No.
But, you know, Islands of Adventure, how themed is that?
Islands of Adventure is all right. I mean, it was a pretty... You could tell there was Disney influence from Imagineers who had left Disney.
Is there animatronics on the rides? Don't tell me about Harry Potter, because I know that's full animatronics, but...
Well, that's newish also. There used to be this Atlantis attraction that had, projections. Can't remember if there was a animatronic. I didn't ride the great Drowned You in Water attraction that... is based on, we talked about this once before, those what's the series, maybe the studio that did the one, the guy had like the Canadian Mountie guy, the Russian dude,
Rocky Bullwinkle.
Rocky Bullwinkle.
Dudley Do-Right,
all that stuff.
No,
they have a very stylistic approach to their animation, right? Yeah. You knew it was that studio doing it. They've got I want to say it might be a Dudley Do-Right ride. Whatever it is, there's not anybody.
They did have some like a Dudley Do-Right.
There's no one that comes down that flume that's not already wet. And if somehow they manage to miss getting wet, when they're done with that last drop, they are wet. Plus, there's like a bridge going over it that people can shoot like water streams and can. So if you saw somebody that you wanted to make sure got wet, and I had my camera equipment with me, I wasn't going on it. their Spider-Man attraction was pretty cool, but it was all projection. So beyond that, I don't recall. There was a, I almost said Sesame Street, but that's not right.
Simpsons.
Dr. Seuss attraction.
Dr. Seuss. Okay, yeah.
The Simpsons, I didn't go on because I'd been on it in California. So, you know, that was basically just Back to the Future rebranded for The Simpsons. It's a projection.
Yeah, and I didn't care. I've never cared for that attraction. No matter
never
what
thought it. Though their Men in Black attraction was fun. So simple animatronic. You know, it's a Buzz Lightyear shoot 'em up. You don't have to be quite as accurate. There's four seats. The back seat's a little higher than the front. So you have a clear view of, you know, getting everybody. But I enjoyed that park again. Animatronics, dinosaurs. They got the Jurassic Park ride, which we didn't go on. It appeared to be a duplicate of California's ride. So,
which was short and designed to get you in.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, this has always been my complaint about Universal. Back in the day, even some today, is they should be someone you expect to be highly immersive, highly detailed.
Yeah.
They're movie makers. Frickin' they should know how to do it. And they always seem to fall short. So, but they've come a long ways since then.
And that's a good way of saying what I kind of felt with the Disney studios. The tram tour, like we were saying, was nothing.
It was a freaking waste of time.
Film-wise, you drive past some of the stuff that's on display. You're talking about what Universal's doing. Yeah, they're doing the same thing now. You're not going past movie sets and things, but they got all these different cars from different movies on display that you get to drive past. And
you were supposed to go on a back lot, which about the only thing I know that was filmed on that back lot was the exterior of the Golden Girls.
Yep.
But the Golden Girls wasn't filmed out there.
Yeah.
If you caught the costuming section right, you might see them making some costuming. You know, the Catastrophe Canyon was cool, but then not on like stuff Universal has done.
Yeah. Full on ripoff of the
earthquake,
underground earthquake.
Sure.
Thing.
But to see all the ways Universal Florida did their attractions that are based off the tram here without a tram out there, to me was entertaining. Like, you know, the Jaws ride was kind of like a Jungle Cruise type thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, the earthquake was
did you get a bigger
like
boat?
No, it was like a subway. Yeah, so there was different ways of how they interpreted those attractions, which I thought was kind of cool. I enjoyed their mummy ride, the roller coaster. I thought
it was backwards,
cool.
Yeah.
And had some cool interactive things in the queue, like, oh, there's a piece of gold. I'm going to reach down to it. Of course, you can't because it's a,
yeah,
you know, projection illusion, and all that. Yeah. But I get what you're saying, Richard. I mean, you did get your little come be on stage action, right?
Yeah.
With the show. I don't know if they ever changed that or if it's always the same scenario.
Where?
At Disney MGM Studios. Before you got on the tram, they take you, and I think it was from...
The last one I did Pearl was 1941. Harbor. Yeah, Pearl Harbor, sorry. Yes, the Ben Affleck. I got...
Yeah, and you get on the ship, and they throw water at you.
Everyone's got different jobs, yeah.
So yeah, the last time that we went out there was, I think, 2010. And at that time, there was no more tram tour. There was no trams or anything. You just went through. You had all those displays in that studio warehouse thing, and that was it. There was no tour of the costuming area or anything else anymore.
Yeah, it was.
And then they had the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids
playground
for the queues,
which is gone.
Yeah, I mean, my kids enjoyed it when they were that age. It was giving something to, you know, divert themselves from and, you know, wear themselves out, which was fine with me. So.
All right. So, yeah. Greg, why don't you tell us why Epcot underwhelmed you?
Well, I have to say the lead up to Epcot underwhelmed me also. I was a subscriber to the Disney News Magazine, which, you know, was much different than what it was changed to under Eisner, where it became a very ad-driven commercial run rag. When it was made for just the Magic Kingdom club members, you had to know it was available to even get it. I happened to see it and get my haircut once. Took the magazine. I don't know if I was supposed to. I asked my grandmother, you know, if she'd get me a subscription. It's like $3 or something, you know, needed a checkbook. And later I found she cut the little thing out, you know, of my cherished little magazine. And sent it in and got me a subscription. Later on, when I was at Disney, some guy was selling his collection, and I was able to replace that particular
with no cutout.
With one, yeah, I have the entire collection from beginning to when they finally ended it. But they talked a lot about Epcot, not when it was opening per se. Never gave really any dates. It was a quarterly magazine, so you know, a lot of times you didn't get dates. You know, they'd advertise a movie in fall. The Treasure of Matacumbe, or you know, something like that. And it looked like just a big shopping village. It just didn't, nothing about the images, artwork they presented looked very interesting. And even though Mark and I got to go out to the load unload and stare, other than the giant golf ball, which we had no idea what it would be, I was kind of like, well, what is it going to be? I don't think we really still had a real decent idea what it was going to be. So it was the trip with Richard and Karen that I first experienced it. And it's not that the attractions were not enjoyable. The edutainment, you know, at first was something that grew on me. Wasn't immediately like, oh, yeah, Universe of Energy. I'm going to listen to a spiel about oil and gas and finally get to the dinosaurs at the end. And the dinosaurs have nothing to do with fossil fuels. So I was more impressed by like how some of these attractions were made. You know, the trackless system on Universe of Energy. They really pushed that it was run by the solar power on the building. Push things like that. So the part, you know, that part grew on me. I gotta
say, you didn't enjoy Horizons the first time you wrote it. You didn't enjoy World of Motion the first time you wrote it.
I didn't say I didn't enjoy them. You know, this was a clash to Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom. You know, there was no Disney characters, which
it was supposed to be completely different. Yeah,
I'm, you know, okay with that. I wish they'd kind of go back to that. I'm just saying it's not what I expected. And I was kind of like, damn, this is a giant park. I mean, huge compared to anything we we had seen. And the countries that had no attractions, I'm kind of like, I felt like I was gypped. You know, it's like, where's my Germany attraction? Where's my Japanese attraction? Where's my Great Britain attraction?
The Germany attraction was the many wines you got to try out.
Yeah, I mean, they had some really good wines.
Or the miniature train set outside.
I don't even think that was there in 86.
Probably not. I don't know. My first trip.
So it was so contrary to everything I'd been reading and the things I saw Walt say on TV about what Epcot was going to be, that it wasn't necessarily, first impression wasn't what I expect. Maybe it's more of what I expected was different, you know, not knowing what to expect. The largesse was good. Everything looked good, but things were so spread out that, I don't know, it just felt different. Now it's one of my favorite parks, but at the time I was kind of like, wow, this is different. I mean, yeah, Horizons was awesome. I thought, I didn't smoke any dope or do acid before I got on the Figment ride. I wasn't overly impressed with Dreamcatcher. Figment was okay. Yeah, I mean, Living with the Land, I mean, I was like, anyway, in those days, I wasn't as much into some things I'm into now. I'm like, why am I floating around learning about plants and hydroponics? And, you know, listen, though I love
Roy Orbison sing.
Yeah, I love the veggie fruit show, though. that thing was awesome.
That is a classic. So
there were good things. And we didn't, you know, Richard was there. We didn't eat at any of the restaurants. That was probably out of our budget in the day.
Yeah, they were all pricey.
Well, I don't know if I'd say pricey so much as that's just not what we did in those days spend the extra $5 or $10. I mean, things weren't overly expensive.
Where would you eat then?
We didn't sit down. A lot of them were sit down and be served, and we didn't want to take the time doing that. We wanted to move on.
They all had their fast food component, but back in the same time frame, let's just go back to Disneyland, let's say 1986, I didn't go to the Blue Bayou. I mean, we're kids, basically. You know, you went to the hamburger place. You went to the hot dog place. Maybe Chicken of the Sea place when it was still there. I didn't see the need to sit down at restaurants. We did eat at the Octagon place. That's now the Event Center.
Yeah,
that was good. I was disappointed when I found out it had basically closed or become just, you know, an event or private party thing.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge seafood thing beyond fish and chips and, you know, things of that nature. So even though I was fascinated with the underwater restaurant, you know, squid and octopus and things like that just didn't entice me. Though I'll eat calamari now on occasion, but.
Trying to think when on the trip that I took in 90, where, you know, as a group, we all decided one table service in each park. We did lunch, so it was cheaper.
Yeah.
So we ate in the castle on Magic Kingdom Day. We ate in Mexico on the Epcot Day. And we ate at the 50s Primetime Cafe on the Studio Day. And then every day after that was either a walk-up place or we saved it for Pleasure Island, you know.
Yeah.
The marketplace. See,
I could roll that back and say when I went, so I went in 75 with my mom and some friends. I couldn't tell you where we ate. Probably just walk-up, you know, Tomorrowland Terrace type of stuff. When my friend Mark and I went in 82, though, our special meal was the castle.
Yeah.
That was different. We're young men, first time out on their own, you know. got Mark doing things like, that girl has underwear on. you know. But we didn't time it. We didn't try to do this, but we ended up by the glass for fireworks
in the
castle.
Nice.
Totally random.
Dumb luck.
And I won't even, now with dumb Princess Dining and all the crappy food they got up there now. I did it once for Princess's one with a big family trip. Probably never do it again.
That 2005 trip, the Katrina, we were there at the same time.
Yeah.
So Lights, Motors, Action was open.
That one, yeah. But not when Vincent and I went in 2005.
So you went twice in the same year?
Yeah.
Okay.
This worked out for Vincent and I because Vincent's like, let me show you around, you know.
Oh, okay.
The girls had, when we went, a couple of girls were afraid of flying, or at least one of them. They went to Julian. I programmed my GPS and my Magnum for her to drive down to Julian. And then my daughter comes back saying, oh, for my senior trip, I'm going to Hawaii with so-and-so's friends and his, what I thought is this weird uncle we've never met. And we're like, nah, that's not happening. And I just, I think previously received a pretty ginormous bonus. And I'm like, why don't we go to Disney World instead? You can bring your friend with you. So twice in the same year, spring break, and then we left Florida the day Katrina was hitting ground. And it was a rough trip, and they took a slightly different pattern.
Yeah,
out.
We were there at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yes, Light Motor was open for that, but earlier in the year when I was there, it was not.
Anyway, we got a dumb luck seat on that trip at the sit down place, Rosencrown. We got a dumb luck place right next to the water. And we were able to see that dumb show Illuminations when.
Now on the 2005 trip with my son, we did some sit down because we went to this sci-fi dining. I like the good themed, restaurant if it's done. So we did sci-fi dining. And then with that second trip, Rosencrown 50s prime time, which the kids didn't like being told to eat their food,
eat your vegetables,
and their pressure and all that kind of stuff. They didn't like that. The castle, as we mentioned. But again, it was rare, the same age when we're at Disneyland. I did the Blue Bayou once, I think, as a kid or young adult. We did the horseshoe all the time. I don't remember what they served back then, because back then they served you, if I remember right, for the Golden Horseshoe, right? We didn't go up to the...
We had that server.
It's pretty simple.
But it was a very simple, very simple menu. I'm trying to remember what was on there.
Some sandwiches, probably a hot dog, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So that's probably why the first time, I'm 86, been in the Air Force, a year, not quite a year and a half, maybe making 800. No, by then I wasn't even making 800 bucks a month yet. I was probably making like 650 or 700 a month at that point. We didn't have a lot of disposable cash. What part of it made it affordable was Richard was signing us in every day. I told my wife I had saved up enough money, which really meant I charged it. My thought of going to a theme park wasn't, where do I eat and make a reservation?
No, that came.
You didn't really. In 86, you could have walked in probably to any of those restaurants and sat down.
1990, same. The internet fucked all that up.
Oh, yeah.
People have too much information. Yeah.
Like they've done with everything, pretty much screwed it up.
When we went to Epcot in 86, it had already been open for a few years. I mean, the grand opening was in 82, and that was my first year working for Disney. And that was what everybody was talking about, was getting ready for Epcot. And we had the 30 days of Epcot at Disneyland, where, remember the preview center on Main Street?
Yes.
Every day they were showing live video coming in from Epcot of what's being opened up, what's going in. It was a whole big deal that was going on. And I got that book on behind the scenes with Epcot, that big, huge picture book talking with some of the artwork and everything in it.
The one that's called Walt Disney's Epcot Center?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine up there.
Both of you have the same book, I know. But so when we got there, and I knew it was going to be big, but when we got there, it was still bigger than I expected. So it had the big wow factor to me. And pretty much everything that we saw in there was exactly what I was expecting to see. And I was just amazed with it all.
I wasn't privy to that book. And I'm like, yeah, wow. But, wow. You know, some of the attractions didn't hit right the first time. And again, why am I floating through the land, you know, and looking at cows and fish or whatever, and buffalo, I guess.
And of course, me being a science nerd, that'll... got me. That was cool.
I don't want to say, yeah, don't say what it got. You'll get a new nickname if you keep going on that.
It was cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool, but like I said, I maybe, you know, sometimes built up expectations versus realization is two different things. Like I had an idea of what Tower of Terror was going to be like in Florida. I was hugely disappointed with what I expected to see, but also enjoyed what I was left with, except for the fifth dimension, which I think is for all the Florida people who just think that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think it's highly disappointing. What I find more interesting is how they take a lift and take you out of a lift and put you in another lift and then start, you know, pushing you down faster than gravity.
Over again. Yeah.
The mechanics of that is interesting, but the actual presentation of it could have been done so much better.
Yeah.
And now I still don't know why they haven't improved it. It's highly disappointing to me. Rock and Roller Coaster, Indoor Roller Coaster. Can't say that I haven't been there, done that.
It goes upside down.
Oh, well, so what?
And it's all in black light.
I've ridden roller coasters in the dark. So
well, okay, come on. Yeah. All right, it's
Space Mountain's still better.
I agree. Disneyland Space Mountain. Screw that Magic Kingdom shit. That thing's.
I like the Magic Kingdom one. You got to remember though, I rode it when it first opened in '75. We were there in the summer of '75. It had opened, I think, in May of '75. So it was fresh. It was new. We didn't have ours at Disneyland yet. We had drawings of what it was supposed to be at Disneyland and then gets built in Florida. And I'm like, damn, this is cool. Uh-huh. Indoors, dark, it's, two different sides.
It's bad, you know? Like Matterhorn. Now it's bad like Matterhorn. Just freaking
beats the shit out of you. So are you one of those boomers that can't ride it?
You say boomer it's a slur? And you're proud of being one? What the fuck?
People say that to me all the time. They're like, boomer. I'm like, and I see the 30-year-olds complaining about can't ride the Matterhorn, crawling off of it and all their, you know, sensational clickbait bullshit, you know.
When they took away the seatbelt, you know, two to a section thing and made it.
Yeah.
It just got rougher. And I, you know, yes, you know, some parts of your body don't respond well to that kind of.
And let's face facts, it was kind of nice having that two to a seat, especially when you had the girl sitting with you.
Someone to hug on to, yeah.
I'm glad you gave that caveat there.
Yes.
So when it's the two dudes riding, we'd always say, we're kind of big.
No.
We get our own. They wouldn't push it. So mine, I said California Adventure.
Yeah, I get that.
And California Adventure was, here's the thing. You know, you talk about, you read about Epcot, and then you go there and you go, well, this ain't like I read. But they set up a freaking platform for you to watch it being built. Like, we had Disneyland annual passes, so we'd pop it in there all the time, and it was right there at the plaza, and you could, you know, climb the little thing and look out there and go, yeah, that's, you know, but then you see stuff forming, you know, okay, you get excited for it, and then you show up, and I remember, do you remember that, okay, did you go to any of the annual pass holder preview days that were like $20 a head?
I don't know if I've ever been to a cast or a pass holder, anything. I usually don't want to pay the extra money and get in with all the weirdos.
This was the mistake, it was so fucking cheap, it was $20 a head. And everybody in the world was there. Holy smokes, was it crowded.
Exactly.
Plus, it was a hot day. So everyone was hanging out in the farm, the Bountiful Farm, because it had water features to play in. And that's when you realize there's not a lot to do. Right? So you walk in, the first thing you do is you smell burnt coffee.
Yeah, never yep. understood that. That's my a feature. Wife is a like, coffee connoisseur.
I mean, I enjoy never coffee once that. In a while, but burnt coffee? Ugh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the whole thought process that didn't become obvious. Like you're supposed to stand back in the plaza and see the California and the sunrise behind the, or setting behind the Golden Gate Bridge. And you're supposed to think that's a postcard. You like have no idea what the hell you're looking at. And they have to.
Well, I figured the postcards on the sidewall. That was easy to figure out because I remember those old type of California postcards. Yeah,
but the thing as a whole is supposed to be a postcard.
Sure.
The whole image.
The California word.
But if you don't, if you come at it from the wrong angle, you don't, you know, you don't step, you're not back far enough to catch that.
And okay, there was no true entry kind of like Epcot. You just pop in, you're right there. You got no lead in. The weenie was
the sun. Questionable. The sun that was facing the wrong direction. Anyway, I just remember like, okay, the Main Street area, whatever, Hollywood Land. Okay, this is Disney. This is MGM Studios squished down. We all know the story of Superstar Limo.
Really squished down.
We all know, the original show in Hyperion Theater lasted what? 4 weeks?
The original show?
It was
show?
Called Steps in Time, I thought.
Yeah.
And it was bad. So bad.
It was like modern dancing. The music was kind of cool. But I
never got to see it, but they brought in Blast, and they had Blast there for years.
That's the drum.
Well, Eagle Corps drum core. Yeah.
You know, everybody talked about that. I never got around to seeing it.
Oh, we loved it.
Saw Aladdin, which was done really well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Aladdin done. So, you know, you restaurants everywhere. Real expensive restaurants everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like,
Mondavi, what was the other one? The aerial place now. That was...
what's his name's place?
Wolfgang Puck.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now... There were some redeeming things, right? Like, you know, the screaming, the coaster, the magnet, the mag launch. That's fun. The swings. Oh, you weigh too much. F you. You can't ride that.
Yep.
More restaurants. The Midway games. What the flip? Midway games.
Carousel and Midway. We're like, what the fuck? Disney never wanted this kind of shit.
$5 a throw or something. Like, it's bad.
And all that stuff. Was lean-tos, and they looked like lean-to buildings. They just looked like three so slabs it's of like concrete they ran out, thrown you know, up. And,
you know,
well, there was no you know, character to it at all.
Yeah, but we talked about this. They, you know, the theory was they were recreating a seaside pike or one of those, and that's exactly what those things would look like. In fact, they look better. As bad as we thought they looked, they still look better than what you saw at the original pike or Santa Clara or you know wherever.
So you know that San Francisco Street, nothing in there. I don't know. It was that was very underwhelming. You know, okay, Screaming and Soaring, fantastic attractions. Everything else, eh.
Oh wait, what about the movie that blew up the poor Chinese? Oh, okay, people?
Golden Dreams, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife liked it because it was a great movie. She goes, "This would be a great movie to show fourth graders because that's California history's fourth grade curriculum."
we're gonna blow up the kids.
And then,
the flume ride or the water
flume ride? What
was Grizzly Rapids?
Grizzly the raft ride. Eh, they had that. They had that at Knott's. They had that at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I was at the Animal Kingdom was a preachy story. At least this one was not preaching
just,
at you.
Yeah. It wasn't new. Screaming the roller coaster wasn't super new, but you know, it was
give me an example of something Disney's ever built that was new. And I can think of one.
Soarin'.
Oh, that's not where I was going. Oh. I was going for the first tubular roller coaster.
Well, that was at Matterhorn.
Yes, but I was saying, where have they? It's not like we haven't seen an IMAX type film, but yes, putting you up on the little swinging gondola things, in combined with the movie. Yes, okay, so that was new. But short of that, it's not like Disney has reinvented.
No, and Screamin' was an off the shelf coaster. We know that.
Yeah, sure.
But I never.
So was Sky School or whatever that thing's called.
That's way old. I mean, shit. Yeah. Back in the early 70s, I used to see those get built and take down in county fairs and city carnivals.
Mulholland Madness. That's what it was before Sky.
So, you know, and then you're thinking, oh, yeah, all the cutesy puns. Who gives a shit? I went on a pass holder preview, and I remember asking them, will our annual passes, this tells you how long ago it was, the deluxe pass, the top of the line pass, is only $200 for the year.
Oh, would it cover both? I remember.
Yeah, would it cover both? Oh, no. It'll have its own. So I'm like, $400 for unlimited access to both parks? Oh, yes. We need to, the poor guest service person give me the spiel. I'm like, oh, okay.
But in reality, what really happened?
Well, they started it that way. And after about 2 months, it was like, okay, you can add DCA for $100. Right? So $300 for both parks, which, you know, still... You could do
by
that.
Today's standard, that's pretty damn sure.
I'm with you on first impressions, but I'd already had my kind of weak first impression. So I approached DCA slightly different because, of course, I had been with the park, Richard, long enough to be told we were getting something called Westcott. Not exactly an Epcot on the West Coast.
I remember Westcott.
Yeah, but something similar.
Had a big write-up in the Disneyland line.
Yeah, we got promotional work. I had a key to an office that was in the Unoco building. And since Disneyland at this time still oversaw the Unoco, because that was there separate from the hotel, going there, and it was all about Westcott. This was Ron Dominguez's baby, selling it to the city. And then we got DCA. So, yes.
Yeah.
Huge disappointment, and then you find out how much was recycled from Disney's America. But one of my comments was, because people would count how many attractions Disneyland and hope had an opening date. This park will need 5 to 10 years, and people will be flocking to it. But yes, I would say underwhelming when it opened, very much so. I never understood California in California. And like you said, some redeeming values. The diesel electric engine to me was a nice set piece.
Yes,
you know, I thought the arrangement of the park was odd. I mean, Epcot was no, you know, hub and spike.
But Epcot's Epcot's like a figure eight, right? It's two circles.
It has a path.
Yeah,
but you know, the Disney MGM sort of, I mean, did have a weenie to draw down there. That had some things that broke off. I found it sometimes a little more confusing than the back. I thought I went between these two buildings, like there's going to be the commissary, but no, I'd been on the other side where the Disney's one man show or one man's dream. You know, you'd end up in the wrong row because it all looked beige and the same.
Remember when they first opened, you didn't go past the weenie. You didn't go past the Chinese theater.
Well, there was a side row right down there, right?
If you're looking at it, go to the right to the animation courtyard and the tram tour. Go to the left for commissary and Star Wars crap and Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
But right behind, that was all tram tour shit. You didn't get, you know, you got a little bit of New York Street, you know, the end up by Sci-Fi Dining, but past the barricade, no.
Well, so if you were standing facing Sci-Fi, you couldn't walk to the right?
You could. That would dump you out right in front of... Because Sci-Fi, then...
It would curve just slightly back to where the Chinese theater was.
Because right next to Sci-Fi was his commissary.
So that's what I'm saying. No, so I thought Sci-Fi was on a different row. Because to me, there were two rows that I thought seemed kind of the same.
There's a theater. There's that theater that...
Well, the Mickey Mouse Club was in.
Yes, you had, and the Drew Carey, the Sound Stages.
The Drew Carey show. Yeah.
That's a parallel road. But, you know, one of those, it leads you to Indiana Jones. The next road has commissary and Sci-Fi Dining.
Yeah, so...
So I did go to a cast member preview. DCA, where everything was cheap. We went into the soap opera bistro. Do you remember that?
I Oh, the soap opera. Yeah, I don't like soap opera, so I never bothered.
But it was an interesting concept that lasted like a month. I have no idea how long it actually lasted, but you know, the idea was you sat down and
it
characters
through the year, that's for sure.
Characters would talk to you. It was like dinner theater, right? Where the
Yeah.
You know, my waiter was a detective. I'm Detective So and So. I understand you're looking for some beverages. Can you give me a description? You know, kind of stuff like that. And the food was okay. It was cheap, yeah. Right? Because the cast member fee was like $20. And then we ate dinner.
I'm having some Mandela. I'm looking at the Disney MGM. Where was the Disney's one man, the little thing where they had his office?
It was on the other side.
Oh, so that would have been added later.
Yeah. Straight back from.
Yeah. That's why sometimes I got two beige rows of
soundstages
looking the same. Yeah.
I mean, okay. I did, you know, for MGM Studios, I did enjoy their conceit that everything is a set, right? So like, you know, everything that was outside, like Star Tours, you know, everything was half hide or just facade.
Yeah.
But yeah, DCA, my first trip to Mondavi was at that. Yeah. Cast member preview, $25 a head. Oh yeah. The tasting with wine. It was a fantastic meal. Go back to do it. Once it's open, $50 a head.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah,
that.
I don't know. I don't think I ever.
Okay, we did something like that when we had dinner over at Red Rose Tavern. Was we got chef's choice. Where the chef gave set up a three or four place meal, and then with each course, you got a different kind of wine that was chosen for that particular meal.
Where's this?
This was at Red Rose Tavern. Or not Red Rose. Red Rose
I was saying, I'm thinking.
This is at Napa Rose.
Napa Rose. Rose. I knew what you meant, but it wasn't sounding right.
Okay, I know. Play some Whip Around. I know we can't hear it. How long was the soap opera joint open?
Oh, okay. You looked it up.
I did.
Okay, I'm going to go with 11 months.
All right.
I'm going to go with 4.
4 months?
Yes.
Okay, and I already know the answer. So 1 year, 9 months.
Oh!
So you're both way off.
Wow. That's crazy. I couldn't go back to because it's too expensive.
That's how much of an impression it left with me.
Well, exactly. But again, if you're not a daytime soap opera person, why would you want to?
You're going to meet Days of Our Lives people. It was soap opera, I guess, you know. I thought the concept was interesting that everyone's a character that's you're serving you and they're playing.
I get it. Okay.
They're playing a character while they do
it. For the Star Trek experience, that worked for me.
No, because you're into it. Okay. All right.
But I wouldn't bother to be served by wannabe soap opera stars.
Well, they're not wannabe soap. They're characters. They're not wannabe soap opera stars. They're played a part.
And they probably don't look anything like the original guy.
Yeah.
What would be funnier is having one of these where, now, if they were all wannabes and they're doing their day job as a waiter, which is, you know, the trope all the time on TV. And so, you know,
trying to get their job. So-and-so in the dish room is director, too.
Yeah, and maybe they're treating you like you have connections.
Oh, that's so funny. You know,
they're kissing your ass and trying to, you know, get their connection while they're serving you. That would be fun. They did something like that at the Anaheim Grove, where when you went to it, it was like a premiere, like a Hollywood premiere. And you would be walking on the red carpet into it, and the paparazzi would be taking pictures of you.
I wasn't there, but I was told. Yeah, I was told a lot.
Never went to it. Read about it, but you know. But now, so
we did do something like that with one of the service award dinners, where they had the red carpet out, and then they had paparazzis, people asking for your autographs and everything. And
interesting.
Got to have a dinner at Carthay Circle.
Years later, our first impressions of Witch Park didn't impress us that much. Years later, though, Mike, what is your opinion of Disney's California Adventure 2026?
Well, well improved over the original.
Enough that you'd put it on a must-do trip list if you weren't from here?
Well, shit.
Yes. I mean, some people come out here, they have limited time. They're like, yeah. Disney or Disneyland, you know?
Yeah, no, you got it. It's...
Is it grown up into its own unique? Does it have its own signature, its own identity? Is it grown beyond what we saw?
Those are fantastic questions. It's grown, but it's now again in search of an identity, right? Because it's doing a lot.
You think it's still in search of an identity?
Well, they have a Marvel area servicing Marvel fans, right? There's the Cars Land area servicing Pixar or,
Pixar
kids.
People, yeah.
I totally get it.
Because Pixar Pier, too.
They went away from Disney. Now, granted, Tower of Terror wasn't Disney, but it had established itself as part of the Disney, let's say, lexicon, whatever, in Florida. But now we're trying to shove everything else in there, too, that we own a piece of the property to. So I get you. So after, maybe... If we backed up, well, maybe they already had the Marvel Land then. And I don't care what people say, because people tried to have corrected me online saying, because I keep saying that the Marvel Land is the worst land Disney's ever created.
Yeah, here's the question you want to ask.
Okay, tell me what I want to ask, Richard.
If Disneyland wasn't there, would DCA be able to still make it on its own?
Not sure if that's the right question, but it's a decent question.
Yeah. No,
I'd say it could. It could be a local park like Knott's.
Sure. I think DCA peaked.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
DCA peaked with the rehab of the front and Cars Land. Bugs Land didn't need to go away. Marvel didn't need to get pushed in there. Who cares about Millionaire Plant? That's come and gone. It's and for the longest time, we used to refer to it as annual pass holder waiting room or whatever. You Disneyland too crowded, you pop to the other side and you can still have a decent time. I mean, shit, look at us, we keep ending up over there despite our best efforts. We want to go inside the park.
Well, it's got some right now, it's got some new things we want to see, it's got some decent eating choices.
It's hard to separate the 20 Marvel, years of experience.
They could have made a third park. I'm sorry. Third gate, make it Marvel oriented. And I don't care if they're bringing in what seems to be maybe a great new attraction with the little arm or whatever. I think you're going to find half the people still baby swapping and single, family separation.
Yeah,
I think is what you're going to find in that attraction. There's no weenie to draw you in. It just looks like some industrial park that we see all over the landscape.
It doesn't look like an industrial park.
It's very uninspired. I mean,
yes.
Sure it does. I mean, it's exactly what an industrial park might be. You even see the industrial park type, pipes and crap coming out of the side and the down to the sludge. That's even identified in the side of the one building, going down into the ground, and there's like this giant ash tree or something right next to it.
Oh, okay.
That some people might call that an Easter egg. I'm saying, especially with our recent almost tank explosion in Garden Grove, it really fits well in the area.
You're talking about Marvel being an industrial park. I thought you were talking about DCA
Okay. Not DCA.
Well, Marvel's supposed to have that kind of look to it because it's supposed to be you got the old.
Oh, I understand.
It's
uninspiring.
And
I'm sorry. In a few movies, they've went to Spark Plaza or Sparks Buildings or whatever they're supposed to be, and they sure looked a lot more futuristic than this thing.
I'm sorry. I got my picture taken with Black Widow and with Captain Marvel. I'm very inspired.
He's happy with that. Okay.
Okay, now you'll be called Mr. Happy. No Mr. longer Shaft. He's Mr. Happy.
All right, just so just because you can't hear it.
So you're in the Captain America, huh?
No, you didn't say Captain America. He said no.
Yeah, he did.
Captain Marvel.
Oh, Captain Marvel.
That's different.
What a crappy movie. Yes, that is different.
Because you can't hear it, I pushed the button.
Okay.
So,
Well, that was
good. That was a good cut. That was a good topic of discussion. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. We didn't get to finish and wrap up everybody's, 2026 version of their worst first impression.
But who's been back to their stuff to even have an opinion?
I have. Richard has.
Yeah. Okay. Recently, in the last 10 years.
No, it doesn't matter, but, in our, multiple trips that we, years apart from the original, I'm going to say thumbs up to, I really enjoy that park now.
Sure, that's great. That's awesome.
And I still go to see the studios.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks.
That wasn't inspired.
Thanks for that. As usual, thanks for listening, and we wish you a good night.